Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, here we go. 9:08, Ghassan Korban joins us, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. Go spend an hour with us. If you have any questions or comments, you can text them into 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along. Good morning, Ghassan. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing well. Thank you.
You know, I said this last time. I'm rooting for you to succeed, and I don't know if you remember when I first met you, I said, I hope they don't run you off, and because I knew what you were up against with the Sewerage and Water Board. And I just wanted to start, before we get into issues and all that stuff, you were what, with Milwaukee 31 years, is that right?
That is correct.
What, because so I was kidding last time about the old joke about a truck that sleeps eight, and that's not unique to New Orleans. That's a public works joke that goes around the country. I'm just wondering, what are the commonalities between Public Works and Sewerage and Water Board here as opposed to Milwaukee, and what are the differences that you've noticed?
Well, certainly one large common purpose is that we are public servants and we do our best to serve our communities, whether it's, you know, Milwaukee Public Works or the Sewerage and Water Board. We have that mission, and the people who work for these entities take their job seriously, and they're there for a reason. You know, they feel that they are making a difference. And I believe that is very, very true to the Sewerage and Water Board, despite some of the, I'm going to call them the bad apples that give us a bad name. The vast majority of the folks who work for us are proud, dedicated, and very hardworking folks who mean well and do their job day in and day out to make the city better. You know, there's a lot of differences, you know, in my previous job. You know, the structure and the governance was certainly more aligned and more traditional. Here is somewhat, I would say I use the word eclectic just because it's, you know, I feel like I have three or four different entities I have to answer to. And that's being, I think, recognized recently and hopefully maybe streamlined for the better. I honestly believe that any system can work if you have the right people at the policy-making, you know, layer, at the administrative layer in terms of staffing and, you know, positions like mine, and then adequate funding. I think, again, this is a city where I think one of the biggest issue we have is that the inconsistency in funding and the back and forth. And if you take just drainage alone, you know, and the reason we're talking about consolidation now is that we've gone a full circle, and people forget the history. And if you read up, you know, the city owned the small drainage system in the past. Then through a millage that was created, we became the responsible party. And then there was a consolidation. Then the millage went away. And then we lost the small drainage system again. And now we're talking about bringing it back. And there's that back and forth, and people having short memories and responding to crises rather than just creating a system that makes sense. It's that that will serve the city and supporting it. You know, I can talk about all the things where funding exists now in terms of, like, for example, our sanitary sewer system. We have funding associated with it. The power complex, we have funding. We're executing and delivering. We will do the same for the drainage if we do have a consolidation and the full commitment and long-term commitment for a steady, consistent funding that allow us to create a maintenance plan and just, you know, obviously copy the standards of other cities and other agencies.
When it comes to consolidation and talking about smaller lines, you have no problem taking that over as long as it's funded, right?
Absolutely. I feel I've been very consistent from day one that it does make sense for us to just take it over, because there seems to be so much contentiousness about, you know, and the blame game. And so that all goes away. But again, you know, I can do any better than Public Works if I have the same budget that they have, which is minimal, if at all. They have this currently, they have one time money to clean some maybe 5,000 to 6,000 catch basins, and hopefully the laterals that take the water from the basins to the mains. But that's it. I mean, there isn't really commitment or a steady flow of funding that allow them to have a cyclical program where you can go from anywhere between 2, 5, or 7 year cycle based on the area and the history, and be ahead of it and control your destiny in terms of allowing the water to flow into the system so it can the water is conveyed to our canals and then ultimately to the pumping stations.
You talked about, you know, and they use the word bifurcation about the hybrid where everybody, to me, it seems like everybody's responsible, nobody's in charge, and the challenges of the way we have it set up here, as opposed to, and I'm going to make it about Milwaukee, not Jefferson Parish, because I don't want to make it a, you know, us versus them kind of thing. But just from the system you worked in Milwaukee, I'm guessing, Ghassan, the Public Works and the streets and everything, it is all under one, under your control, like it is in Jefferson Parish. That's how Milwaukee was set up.
Yes, I had the Public Works, and my portfolio did include stormwater, sanitary. I mean, obviously, we didn't have any pumping.
Right.
There was no need for that. But we still had issues with some intense rain and floods. I mean, I can name, you know, massive, massive floods that Milwaukee suffered from, you know, 1997, 98, 2010. We had 700-year storm that just covered the city with water. I mean, we've had issues. So regardless what system you have, sometimes you will have an event that just overwhelms your system. But yes, I mean, one portfolio, I had full control of, you know, breaking down the silos, taking the budget and spread it exactly like where we need to. But we also had, you know, a stormwater fee that was created. We had user fees for certain things. It was just more structured. And again, you know, this is not telling, you know, I don't like them against us.
No,
or,
and I'm not trying to make it that. No. But here's what
I know.
Here's what I want to get to, Ghassan, and that is the differences in funding. And you're hired to run an organization, right? That's your job. So if they don't give you what you need to run the organization or the control or the, if you're going to have the responsibility but not the authority, that's a bad combination. You knew the deal coming in. I understand that. But I'm just wondering, when it comes to funding, do you think people are aware of exactly the challenges that you're facing? Like when you talk about millages coming and going and short memories and history repeating itself, the challenges you're up against?
I don't believe so. And, you know, again, I don't want to make this at all adversarial or blame, but there are narratives sometimes that I can't control, that a lot of people who have the forum or the ability to say things that sometimes accurate, sometimes not, and they pick and choose what they share with the public. And, you know, we do suffer from a bad reputation, and the piling on doesn't help us at all. I mean, anything that is good that we do, get eclipsed, you know, in a moment, in a second, by somebody just making some allegations or some assertions. And we need the support to, and we need to be lifted by everybody. I mean, you ended our last session when you said, "I really want you to succeed," and that meant so much to me. And I mean, I'm here to succeed.
Yeah,
and I believe you. You sounded very genuine, and I think everybody in the city, you know, looking at me as a professional who came in for a purpose, and I figure it's a mission, it's a calling for me to do make a difference, sometimes despite the odds and despite some of the hurdles and barriers that some people, for whatever reason, create. But overall, I believe that there is a genuine interest for, you know, obvious and, you know, if I may say, selfish reasons for me, for the Sewage and Water Board to succeed, because that's the city's future. The city cannot exist without us, and we know that, and we take that very, very seriously, but we do need the support. And we know we have some issues and some challenges, and we haven't delivered on some of the commitments we've made, but we are working very hard on those. But you got to look at all the good things we've accomplished. Again, despite many odds, you know, we had COVID that obviously impeded a lot of progress, just like it impeded everybody's progress. But that has to be factored in, and then we just picked up from there, and the momentum is going in the right direction. You know, so I'll let you ask questions, but I mean, I'd love to share some of the good things we're doing.
No, yeah. And I think that this is my opinion, okay? I think you don't have to comment on this at all. I think you were the right guy to bring in, but I think due to the situation, I think you're handcuffed and they're not giving you the control that you need. I don't think they're giving you the money that you need. And people's memories are short, and they don't understand the complexities that are involved with this hybrid state, city, sewage, and water board thing. Let me read you a question. We'll take a break and you can answer, because I invited the audience, okay? And you can explain this. So why haven't we started changing the old 25-hertz motors with modern 60-hertz three-phase motors that would eliminate the need for 25-hertz power? The RPMs may be too high for our pumps, but that could be corrected with a gearbox, a transmission. Now you could power the pumps from energy with normal commercial backup generators. I pass that along, Ghassan, because everybody, maybe this guy or woman knows what they're talking about. Maybe they don't. But everybody thinks they have an idea, and I thought I'd run it by you, and we'll answer when we come back, all right?
Absolutely.
Okay, Ghassan Qurban, our guest executive director, New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. We're going to talk about what happened with the storm, the most recent storm. We'll talk about can we pump our way out of the rainfall that we're having? I don't think we can. And alternative means, we'll talk about power stations and turbines and more when we come back. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us, WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
9:26, spend an hour with Ghassan Qurban, Executive Director, New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Ghassan, I pose that question to you. Now people are texting in about gearboxes and transmission and everything else. If you can, rather than maybe address that question, just let's talk about the turbine system, turbine four, the problems with that, getting power to them, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I got some other questions for you. But just generally speaking, if we wanted to update everything, I'm guessing we could, just like any contractor will tell you, they can do anything they want if you got the money for it, right?
Well, absolutely, and I think it may be warranted just a 30-second high level.
Sure.
We are going in that direction, as suggested by your caller who texted that suggestion. it takes phasing, it takes obviously funding. So what we currently have is an old antiquated system that served us well for years and years and years. But then because lack of investment, you know, those turbines have aged significantly. And now it costs us a lot more than just buying power, which what we are about to do. So we build a substation that produces new technology power, 60 hertz. And for us to be able to use that substation for a cheap, a quarter of the cost, we need a frequency changer or mechanism to change that power or technology to allow us to serve about 50% of our pumps that use the old technology, which ultimately we will have to change, yes, absolutely, to new technology and get away with the frequency changer, that adapter in between. So that is the exact direction we're going. We're spending about $275 million on a new power complex that consists of substation, again, more cost-effective. And then we're standing by its side our own modern backup system that will allow us to bring reliably power to any of the pumps that we have in the city. So that is the right direction. I think people are aligned, and we're aligned with them.
So what happened? Go ahead.
What do you mean?
Well, I was just going to ask you, what happened with that, with the power station and the bid, for people that don't know what went on there? Was it because people were hesitant to do business with the city, or how did that get so far off track?
Yeah, so, I mean, that depends on you how you look at this. So we are in the middle of, we had multiple contracts as part of that new power complex, very successfully, very close, in terms of the estimate versus the bids. And we have two more. One is the one we're speaking about right now, and one more coming up. And then we will deliver, again, the modern system that we need for the next 50 years. So what happened in this instance, we bundled up a significant portion of the remaining work. And it's a very complex work, very, very high niche. It's not, you don't have a lot of people, even across the country,
that do the work, right?
Who do the work. Yeah. We reached out to well over 12 vendors / suppliers / contractors to obviously solicit their interest. We held an actual pre-bid conference to talk about the project and make sure we answer any questions and simplify things, clarify things, maybe add or subtract to just in response to the experts who ultimately will build this complex. So we had about six vendors independent that would have, all independently bid on the job. Well, we can't control their interests nor their, their numbers. So what happens is that two of them decided to joint venture or create a joint venture and submit a bid together, joining their expertise and their strength. And in that bidding community, people know who's bidding, who's not. I mean, it's not collusion by any means, but people know the environment, who's interested and who's not. And ultimately, we had one bidder, and knowing that, I'm sure they had a premium associated with the numbers. I guess we could have, in retrospect or in hindsight, maybe adjusted the number accordingly, and the estimate would have gone up. And the number would, at the end of the day, is the same. It is whether you adjust in the front or respond to it based on the bid. The bid is the bid. It's always the case where the bid dictates the actual cost. Sometimes you're spot on, sometimes you're higher, sometimes you're lower. So in this case, we believe that the environment, the bidding environment, and the scarcity of bidders, the complexity of the job, the political environment surrounding it, the need, the commitment that we must have it in the middle of 2025, so it serves, will be ready for the 2025 hurricane season. All of that, creates an environment that, favors a higher number. And then we did make an error in terms of, we did change the scope of the work. and we never adjusted the bid in the tune of about $5 million out of the $20 million delta. So that is on us. But that number would have been reflected in the estimate, and the estimate would have been higher, and the bid would have been higher. So at the end of the day, it's we are paying for what we're getting, and we've analyzed it, and we decided that if we had gone to another, like rebid it, there is zero guarantee that we're going to have any lower prices or any more bidders. And chances are we would have had even higher numbers, quite honestly. So, and more delay in delivering the project as we have committed.
When I attended the University of Life, I was a purchasing agent for the state of Louisiana, Kassan. And for people that don't know, I think the public sometimes thinks that you need a widget and that there are 100 companies begging to get the state's business to get a widget. Unfortunately, sometimes there is a specialized widget that not a lot of people make, and sometimes you have to write the specs to go for this specialized widget because the other one's not going to fit, and that limits greatly the amount of people that can bid on it. Accurate or not?
Absolutely. And, you know, the frequency changes I just spoke about are probably one of the most unique pieces of equipment that is being built now. I can't even think of anybody else out there purchasing those. So those are very, very highly specialized. So those are made and ready to be used. And now the installation, connecting with them, the commissioning part, meaning making sure that they work exactly as designed, is a very high specialized niche space. And that's why we had so limited bidders. Yes, it's not, you're not buying a standard a roll of paper towels
or anything like that. Yep. It's not what we're wanting. Hey, let me talk to you about turbine 4 and operator error a couple of times. For people that don't understand, I presume there are policy and procedure manuals at each pumping station, or when it comes to these turbines, that you go through a checklist of this, that, the other thing. And for people that don't understand how operator error could occur a couple of different times on turbine 4, take me through that, please.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, again, these are very, very finicky, very fragile pieces of equipment, very old, as you can imagine. And in the most recent case, the turbine was down for, something altogether different. And it was being brought up to operations. We have an issue with oil and water mixing and obviously causing an issue. And in the midst of all that, bringing it back, there was a procedure to turn it on, and the operator made some assumptions which were totally out of line and wrong, that, you know, some things had been done already because, you know, it was an actively being, a turbine that being turned on as we speak from his perspective, and just ignored doing one particular step, and obviously that with turning an oil pump that lubricate the gears, and because he did that, the gears obviously overheated and damage occurred.
So do they have like a binder that they take out, and did this, whoever it is, man, woman, whatever, I know it's human resources and all this stuff, but didn't follow the list of what they were supposed to do, and I don't know how much it cost the surge and water board. Does somebody get fired for that or what?
So, yes, we do have a standard operation procedure checklist, and that operator did not follow it. I mean, it was clear as day. And, yes, disciplinary action were delivered. And, you know, obviously we don't specify the action, but that person met a very, very appropriate disciplinary action because of the wrongdoing. And yes, it was costly. It was, probably a couple $100,000. And more importantly, the delay, although, obviously on the positive end, that is being brought back in early May and obviously ready for the hurricane season, which means we'll have two large turbines and among many other pieces of equipment that will allow us to have redundancy going into the hurricane season.
All right, let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the public relations tour or listening tour, whatever it is. I was talking to Leslie Harris about it on Friday. She had some questions. We'll talk about that and some other and some accomplishments of the Surge and Waterborne under Ghassad Korban when we come back. Also an after action report on the most recent flood, and it seems like we're going to have one every couple of weeks. Ghassad Korban, Executive Director, New Orleans Surge and Water Board, spending an hour with us. You got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 9:44, 16 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Spent an hour with Ghassad Korban. I hope we spend some more time with him. Executive Director, New Orleans Surge and Water Board. Ghassad, in the time you've been here, I don't know that I've heard anything in any way that would question your integrity. You also do not seem like a man that would spend money capriciously. So when it comes to the listening tour, how much is being spent? Where'd the money come from? And what's the goal behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the question and I appreciate you saying what you said. So one of the most common advice that I hear from across the board, whether it's the president of the city council, Helen Moreno, or my board, friends, people at the grocery store, they say, you got to tell your story. You got to tell your story. You got to also listen to your customers, which is very, very wise. And I'm intuitively fully aligned with that. So what we've set out to do is we have a one-person communications office, you know, and to be able to reach people and share all the, you know, standard or the good, you know, all things that we're doing, whether it's the water quality report that we are by law is supposed to share with folks, with all our customers, what we're doing with the power, the smart metering program, and the need to for our customers to understand what it's about, the expectations, when it's coming, what it means to them, the timing. Another critical project we're working on is replacing the lead service lines that exist across our city, north of 50,000 of them. You know, there's a lot of critical things that it's not just successes. It's just, you know, the need for our customers to understand what we're doing for them and what they want us to do for them. So, you know, you can call it a listening tour, but it's more meeting with our customers. So, again, to share successes, to share information that we feel are very relevant to them and hear them out. And so for the last 5 years, and this is very critical, for the last 5 years, including this year, the cost of that has been about an average about $200,000 a year. To me, for a utility our size and the size of our city and all the things we're doing, that is very, very minimal cost in terms of, you know, creating a lot of information and delivering it to our customers. So I don't think it's frivolous by any means. I think it's very, very I wouldn't say frugal, but it's certainly not very frivolous like some people think. The money is coming from our system funds, just a part of our budgeting and balancing. And, you know, we have really have created a lot of, you know, priorities for this utility that was not created in the past. And just one just an example of the judgments that we have on our books that we have been ignoring for years. We are the first administration who brought funding to start paying our plaintiffs, you know, our people who owe money through court judgments. So I mean, I don't want to digress, but just telling you that we are spreading the funding that we have to and changing the priorities to respond to our customers, because that had been one of our top issues for our folks, that, you know, there are judgments out there that nobody is can even think once to receive from us. We're changing that. So, but anyways, back to the communication piece. I think it's money very, very well spent. It's going to serve a good purpose, had served a good purpose. And we believe we're going to continue to do that.
All right. For those that say, Ghassad, let me just jump in for a second before we run out of time. Yeah, for those that say, if you want people to hear your story, then improve customer service, do this, get the bills out on time. You know, you've heard it all. they think that this money is being done at the expense of that, that this money could be better used somewhere else, you would say?
Well, I would say that the utility has many fronts, many needs, many priorities, and communicating what it's doing for its customers is one of the top priorities, especially when everybody that I encounter tell me, we don't know what you're doing, we don't know all the good things. All we need here is the bad stories, the bad headlines, embellished or legitimate, and you need to offset that sometimes. And I think the people need to know for their sake. It's not touting our successes. It's sharing the good news with our customers so they can feel some hope that we are moving in the right direction for them. And when you hear, oh, I'm leaving the city because so-and-so, we don't want anybody to leave the city because of us. I mean, they may have other reasons, but not, we don't want it to be the sewage and water board. And if they don't know we're working hard on their behalf and moving the utility in the right direction, we're shortchanging them, and we're really cheating them out of awareness of the good things and the good progress we're making.
Let's talk about the after action report after Wednesday's flood. What did it show? Did everything work properly? And if not, what failed?
Yeah, and again, you know, the tone here, we have the most active drainage system probably in the nation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so meaning it's not just gravity where water goes into catch basin and daylights into a river somewhere.
Let me say it for you, Ghassan. The city didn't start flooding after Ghassan Korban became the executive director of the Sewage and Water Board. Go ahead.
Well, I would say it's probably, and I'm not taking the credit myself, but the change we've made, it's probably flooding less and less in comparison to what it would have been, because we, if you look at the power supply that we had in, you know, starting in 2017 versus what we have now, it's a day and night in terms of the ability to power pumps that we wouldn't have been able to a few years ago. So it's all comparative, and I'm not saying that you know the record is good, but not every flood event is a function or driven by an operator error or a break in an equipment or what have you. Sometimes an event will inundate a system and it will overwhelm it and it will flood. I mean, April 10th event would have flooded the city of Milwaukee. I can guarantee you that. You would have had water in the streets, and where it's designed to go, you know, as a holding basin until it makes its way to the system. Unfortunately, the April 10th event, we had a lot of things moving in the right, you know, while minor issues here and there. The biggest issue we had, unfortunately, was caused by a vandalism at one of our electric meters, where they call it a junction box, where somebody had previously attempted to cut through the pipe or the cable for the value of copper. Unfortunately, you know, would have been like $100, $200 for them, but the ramifications was so much greater because we lost the ability to the conduit to deliver power to key pumps was impeded and curtailed. We overcame it, and we obviously, you know, there was some struggle with some of the pumping. But at the end of the day, you know, you cannot foresee that, unfortunately. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're constantly battling the old system, all the moving parts, all the fragility of it. And then you add vandalism to the mix. And in this case, I don't think the impact was as great as it could have been. The cable was delivering power to one of our largest pumping station, and we still were able to power or run about 10 pumps out of the we would have been by design 12.
Real quick, Ghassan, we're out of time, but what you're doing is fighting increased rainfall. Is it not racing it in a way?
Oh, absolutely. The intensity of rains has dramatically changed. And, you know, the system is just not designed for 3, 4, 5 inches an hour. I mean, no system is designed for that. And, I mean, many times I think we do very well with some rain events, as long as it's steady and it's manageable, because we lower our canal levels to create storage. We anticipate some issues and we stay ahead of it. And a lot of rains, we don't get any issues. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, you have these flooded streets here and there, and you know it's not the pumping, because the levels of canals are low enough that we know if the water gets there, we can pump it. It's just the size of the drainage system, the catch basins being maybe not in working order or whatever the case may be, impeding flow and causing some floods here and there.
Never enough time. Never enough time. I hope you come back, all right?
I will.
I enjoy talking to you. I really do.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You bet. Ghassan Korbon, Executive Director, New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board, Nut and Simple. We'll be back. WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.